Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, please open your Bibles to the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2. Though we're reading only two verses this morning, you'll want to keep your Bible open because, well, when you read two verses, you can almost do it word for word in the sermon. And so you'll need your Bible to remain open, but I'll read it out loud as we continue with our sermon series called The Local Church is the Hope of the World, sermons on the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 only. Listen closely, this is God's inspired word. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. So ends the reading of God's holy and sacred word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your spirit would illuminate the inspired word of God and that our ears and minds and hearts would be open to that which your spirit has to say. We pray that you would in particular bless the men of Christ Church, challenge us as men, and challenge all of us to support and pray for and stand behind those men God has placed in our lives. Thank you for hearing this prayer. We pray in Jesus' name, and let us all say, Amen. Well, old men are the hope of the world when they are united to Jesus, when they have the Spirit of Jesus. And older men, we have so much to offer. By the way, I count, at least according to the commentators who said the Greek old men sort of started at about age 50. So I'll use the word us. But we old-timers, I'm not an old-timer, I can't say that. But older men, we have a lot to offer. Let me tell you what we have to offer. We have time. We can give it away much more than when we were younger. We have experience, painful and pleasant. We'll gladly share it with you. We have two ears to listen twice as long as when we were young men. We have a heart that has felt pain, and so we can empathize when you share your pain with us. We've quit sweating the small stuff. We've realized what we thought was so important, it just wasn't that important. We know really, really old stories, even about other people when they were young that you don't know. Come ask us. But as a bonus, and it's not even listed here on our list, it's a bonus. One special thing that we have to offer is old man humor. Can you beat old man humor? When is a door not a door? When it is ajar. Ah, yes. Can the party be complete without old man humor? And the church needs old men. The church needs old men who do our old man jobs and that we do them in the power of the Spirit and that we do them well. What is our job, old men? Listen to me. What is our job? Paul tells Pastor Titus what our job is in verses 1 and 2. Are you ready? Old men, we are to live with dignity and maturity. We are to live with dignity and maturity. That is our job. united by faith to Jesus, united to the healthy doctrine Jesus teaches, we are to live with dignity and maturity. Now, let's pause for a minute and let's all admit that this is so different than modern society, right? Old men these days acting with dignity, acting with maturity, acting trustworthily in the way we've entrusted them to live. God's people, don't you hate it when old men do not act their age? When old men do not act their age, there's an old saying and it goes like this: there is no fool like an old fool. You know, we all tend to think our generation is taxed in ways others haven't been, but you know, it was no different in first century Crete. The island of Crete, to whom Paul was writing Timothy, there planting, establishing, and strengthening the churches that were being planted. Old men on the first century island of Crete were not acting with dignity, were not acting with maturity. There were sayings about them. Paul quotes earlier in the letter about Cretans being liars and gluttons and immoral people. Where were the old men? Where were the old timers? They were in the thick of it. The early church father, John Chrysostom, who lived in about the 5th century AD, put it this way about old men. He said, "There are some failings which age has that youth has not. Some indeed it has in common with youth, but in addition it has slowness, timidity, forgetfulness, insensibility, and irritability." And so that is why here in verse 1 of chapter 2 in Titus, Paul launches into instructions to old men by saying this unique phrase when he says to Titus in verse 1, he says, "Titus, you, however," or if you have another translation, yours reads, "But as for you, Titus," but as for you. In other words, by this opening Greek phrase, Paul is saying, "Titus, teach the Christian old men to be different than the Cretan old men." Doesn't Cretan even sound creepy? Don't be Cretan old men. Don't be creepy old men. And he says, "Timothy, teach them to be different than these false teachers are teaching with their unsanitary doctrine that they are teaching. Teach differently." You see, we learned since the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us Christians must be different than secular society. That is one of the main themes of the Sermon on the Mount. Be different. And that is a theme Paul picks up here in his letter to the people groups in the church on the island of Crete. Be different. Now in chapter 2, Paul will address 5 people groups. 5 people groups among the people of human society. These are people in the church who have union with Jesus Christ, who have mystical divine union with Christ. Christ is theirs. They belong to Christ. His sins are theirs. Their sins are his. His righteousness is theirs. They have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he tells these people groups how they can shine to the world on the island of Crete the blessings of Jesus. And who does he address? Well, here's the list. Old men in verses 1 and 2, older women in verse 3, young women in verse 4 and 5, young men in verses 6 through 8, and slaves in verses 9 through 10. Now, I'll be preaching 5 sermons on these 5 people groups because all, let me repeat, all play a vital role in their union with Jesus to portray the hope of the world. Of course, what this means, if you are in one of these people groups, and last time I checked, everyone here qualifies. If you are in one of these people groups, then what Paul is telling you is to be different than the typical secular person in your age group. Okay? Be different. Let me make this suggestion. If you want to live a life with hope, if you want to live a life with purpose, look at the average person in your age group in secular society and then do the opposite of what they're doing. You'll go a long way. Well, there's a better way to say it. Read your Bible and see what your Lord Jesus says to your age group. Through his own words and through the words of his hand-picked apostles and teachers, and do that and you will find hope and purpose like none other in secular society in our fallen world. But if you're not yet sure and you don't have your Bible handy, just look around and just do the opposite of what the secular average does. Be different. Now today, this morning, we come to old men. Old men. Old men, do you know that many of the Old Testament patriarchs did their best work in their latter years? That's right. Do you know Moses began, his, forget the Colonel Sanders story. You know, we've heard that so many times. At least my generation did. Moses began his public ministry at age 80. The best 40 years were the final 40 years. Caleb chooses the hill country to defend and drive out the Anakites at age 85. Paul expects old men in their latter years to serve at their best. What does that look like? What does it look like when old men shine Jesus brightly? Well, here is our first point. Old men, we shine Jesus best first when we live with dignity. When we live with dignity. Now, look at your verse again there in verse 2. Paul uses the first three words. These first three words are phrases. The Greek is a single word. The English sometimes is a phrase. Paul uses three words to describe the dignity by which old men should live. He uses three words. Here they are: temperate, worthy of respect, and self-control. Do you see that in your verse? Now, together, commentator John Stott suggests that these three words can be summarized as dignity. I love this Latin-based word, gravitas. That older men should have gravitas. Dignity. Stott goes on to say, dignity or gravitas appropriate to their seniority and expressive of inner self-control. I like how William Barclay puts it in the commentary. Now listen to this, older guys. Listen to this. He says, a certain amount of recklessness and of unthinkingness may be pardonable in our youth, but the years should bring their wisdom. One of the most tragic sights in life is a man who has learned nothing from them. Well, let's move on. So firstly, under dignity, the first thing that older men living with gravitas should practice is being temperate. Do you see that? It's the first word. You should be temperate. All right. Let me be blunt. Old men, let's stay sober. All right, let's stay sober. Now, by this, it's not that Paul is saying old men can't drink. Not drinking, in American history, we call temperance. The temperance movement teaches that no Christian should ever drink under any circumstances. Paul is not teaching that. He is saying be temperate. Stay sober. Can we talk? Old men with too much time on their hands sometimes mismanage it. Suddenly we have more of it than we ever had in our earlier years. Sometimes that means we linger too long over a bottle of wine. Sometimes that means that we linger over a homemade keg of booze a little too long. Or if you're in a different class, maybe you linger over the martini glass at the martini bar much longer than you should. And men, that makes us helpful to no one. It makes you dangerous behind the wheel. And old men and their steering wheels, we've got this, wow, we're pretty addicted to our steering wheels. Not only that, men, it makes us a burden, not a help, but a burden to the people we love. It can knock you out of the lives of the people you love most. It can knock you out of the lives of your family, of your children, of your grandchildren, of your church, of your community, and your society. Let's stay sober. Now, I want to share a fascinating fact with you men. Do you know, listen closely, 1/3 of older alcoholic persons develop their problem with alcoholism later in life. 1/3. People who did not have a problem, a drinking problem, in their younger years develop a drinking problem in their older years. University of Kansas researcher Dr. Sally K. Rigler, MD, says this: alcohol abuse and alcoholism are common but under-recognized problems among older adults. And so you can go all of your life, older men, without having a problem with a bottle and suddenly find yourself with a bottle problem in your older years. Your doctor tells you this all the time. Alcohol and prescription drugs don't mix well. I forget the color. Is it a yellow label on the bottle? Right? This bright colored label that says don't mix. Do you know that alcohol mixes poorly with bad health? And so, men, if we are to be available to serve the people we love, let's stay temperate. Let's stay sober. Now, there are other categories, too, in which we must be temperate. There's eating. There's sleeping. There's recreating. There's gambling. One time I walked into a casino, the only time I ever did, in Christmas, Michigan, just outside of Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, and I was trying to purchase... What was I trying to purchase, Lynn? A webkin. You had to live in the 90s and the early to know what. It's whatever the faddish child toy is, and it's called a webkin. And rumor had it they sold them at the casino, and I was on vacation with my family, and we had promised a webkin to our daughter, and there's no retail stores in Munising, hardly at all. Looking for a webkin. I would just a Walmart. Where's a anything? Okay, so I go into this casino, and I walk in the door, and I look, and I saw a picture of non-dignity, of seniors spending the inheritance that they could give away. I don't want to judge. I know there's people desiring recreation, some type of amusement, some type of break. But that is not a picture of dignity. And, we sometimes laugh as we waste our children's inheritance struggling to find happiness that money will not provide you. And we waste it. So, brothers, let's not be slaves to our desires. Let's be servants of the young for the sake of Jesus. All right, he goes on. Secondly, let us be worthy of respect. That's our next point, men. We need to be worthy of respect. Here's how other translations translate the Greek word: grave, reverent, dignified, serious, respectable. Now, I'm not urging old men everywhere to become gloomy old men. I'm not urging old men everywhere to become cranky old men. I'm not urging old men everywhere to be killjoys. We're speaking about conduct befitting a man who knows life, his life is short and eternity is long and acts accordingly. Worthy of respect. Men who act serious about life, men who act seriously about God, and in so doing, men, strangely, we will find honor and respect naturally coming from the people around us we seek to serve. It's a beautiful dynamic. You know, I'll never forget one very dignified man at Cedar Church. His name was Bob Trapp. Bob put his faith in Jesus when he was 70 years old, the oldest man I had ever personally seen profess faith for the very first time, Bob. And it was through our Christianity Explored gospel class. He had lived a hardened life as a Detroit police officer for 30 years, and Jesus changed Bob. His family told me at the funeral, they marveled at how much God had changed their father and grandfather, Bob. It blew their mind away. Bob came to church every Sunday when we worshiped over at the school. He was feeble, but very dignified. A van drove him in, and he rolled off on a wheelchair into the gymnasium. Sometimes he even drove the little scooter. But he came. It didn't stop Bob, and he was so warm. The best way I can describe it is, Bob, you felt like you were talking to Santa Claus as Kris Kringle in disguise. People loved him. The children loved him. My own ran up and hugged him every week. He had a warm smile and a love for Jesus. That man was dignified. Now, this is what dignity is, older men. It's this. Dignified is, quote, when the young men look at the old man and say, I want to be like them when I reach their age. Ask yourself that, older man. Are the young men thinking that? Or are they thinking, I hope I don't turn out like him? One counselor puts it this way. She says, dignity is our best friend in a crisis. Because it reminds us that although we may be at the mercy of uncertain circumstances, we can at least be in control of ourselves. Self-control. Paul closes his dignity section with the third quality, and it's this, self-control. All right, here's a simple definition of self-control. Self-control is deciding to do what is right even when you don't feel like it. That's self-control, older men. Deciding what is right, deciding to do what is right, even when I don't feel like it. Men, self-control requires, as we age, that we engage in intentional self-care. Intentional self-care to give us self-control. For example, we must care for our physical lives, men. That means eating right, exercising, getting sleep, resting, seeking regular medical treatment so that we stay strong and can use self-control. But there's more. It's our spiritual life, men. It's engaging in prayer, daily prayer, meditation upon all God's mercies, Bible reading, church going, small group involvement. You need it more than ever. You've not reached the end and have arrived. You have reached the trial and need growth to stay in self-control. But there's more. Men, work on our family life. Work on the relationships. Serve the people around you. Volunteer. Pitch in. Stay connected, stay involved, to stay strong so you can use self-control. And there's one more, men, your private life. Listen to inspiring music. You know, just turn off the news. Just turn it off, please. You're attracting the static everywhere you go. Turn it off. Listen to Tchaikovsky. Listen to blessed music. Have healthy hobbies. Let your wife pick out some nice lavender. Get a little aromatherapy. I know it's not the man. Let the lady do it. Just tell her to do it. And you enjoy it. Focus on human touch. Touch that responds to the need of the person you're touching as well as ministers to you. Hey, get a good pet. They're so loyal. They're faithful. Have a daily routine. Monitor your meds. You see, all of these are intentional self-care we men need to maintain self-control for the glory of God and the people around us. Self-control does not appear in a vacuum. There are means God's Holy Spirit grants it. Now, by the way, self-control is not just for the old. As we preach through the series, you'll find that that is one term Paul applies to every gender in every age group, self-control. But William Barclay reminds us still this for the old. He says, over the years, the senior men must have that saving strength of mind which has learned to govern every instinct and passion until each has its proper place. All right, so that's dignity. So that means temperate, worthy of respect and self-control. So, brothers, this is demanding. It's sort of hard. You sort of think a dignified man just walks around being dignified and seems to just wake up with his clothes pressed and his hair in good shape. And how do we, as we age, stay dignified? It's a good question. Well, Paul actually answers that in verse 2. He says, men, this is going to take a lot of faith, a lot of love, and a lot of endurance in order to be temperate, worthy of respect, and using self-control. In other words, it takes maturity. Now, it's interesting here that we have a participle connecting these three words to the first three commands. So the NIV doesn't catch it quite right. It gives you a list of six qualities when really it's three qualities as you do the other three qualities. So the latter three qualities help you with the first three qualities, and the latter three qualities are faith, love, and endurance so that you can be temperate, worthy of respect, and self-controlled. So, it takes maturity, and that's how we're going to categorize the final three. Now, let me do one little shocker here. Maybe it's not a shocker to you, but I remember it was a shocker to me when I first learned this. I have observed that age, listen to me, men, age has little to do with maturity. All right, I hope your brain is going here. Because we're going for the jugular. Here it is. Being a longtime Christian does not make one a mature Christian. So some of you are saying, I am old, therefore I am mature. Au contraire. That is not the definition of maturity. You see, I have met teenagers who are mature beyond their years. And I have met old men who are simply childish, whiners, babies. Age does not make one mature. The Spirit makes one mature. He can do it quickly or he can take a long, long time. And so, old man, I want you to ask, which one are you? I'm not asking you if you're old. We know you're old. The question is, are you mature? Well, how will I know, Pastor? Listen closely, because I'm about to describe the three qualities the Apostle Paul says constitutes a mature old man. Not just an old man, but a mature old man. And are you ready? The first one is this: faith. Are you sound in faith? That's what verse 2 says. Look at your Bible, you'll see it. Be sound in faith. Now, what is faith? Faith, men, faith describes a personal and vital and living relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have it? Older men, have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? And are you leading a new life filled with his Spirit, or are you not? That is faith. Men, old men, I'm not asking you if you have been a lifelong member of the Christian Reformed Church. I am not asking you if you are a blue blood Orthodox Presbyterian born in the home of an OPC missionary. Men, I'm not asking you if you're a longtime member of a club. We men love our clubs. I'm in the club. I'm not asking if you're a Gideon. I'm not asking if you filled a stadium in the 1990s with the Promise Keepers. I am not asking if ever since you were a kid, your dad drug you to the Knights of Columbus and you have served there for years. Oh my goodness, men love their clubs. Now, I'm not against clubs, and I've been a member of many clubs. But being a club member and having active faith in Jesus Christ are not the same thing. So, old man, I'm not asking you what club you're in. Do you know Jesus? Have you bent your proud and stubborn and know-it-all heart before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and have said, I am a sinner. I have messed it up. Save me, Jesus, before it's too late. If you have not done so, then that is not faith. Faith is resting, receiving, and accepting Jesus Christ as offered in the gospel. And Jesus said some harsh words to old religious men in his day. Men, why was I so hard on you? Well, one, I'm a man, so I guess I get to do those things. We let the ladies do the ladies' things, the teens do the teens' things. Sometimes we can say it better to our in-group. I guess partly because my brother Bob Trapp said he was a club member for 30 years. I won't say the club, but it was one I listed. That did not get him closer. That did not become saving faith in Jesus. But secondly, old men, the reason I sort of went out on you is because we need you to pass your faith along to the next generation. And if your idea of passing the faith is just inviting somebody to a club meeting, that's not passing faith. Faith, it could be a club invite, but it's so much more. You see, old men, we need you to love God passionately because the young are very sensitive to hypocrisy. And when the old men don't love Christ, the young sniff it out and they leave the church. I know because I talk to them who does. That's what ministers have to do. And I cannot tell you how many times the young say, hypocrisy, 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 and what am I supposed to say? And so when old men have faith in Jesus, the young feel authenticity. But not only that, older men, we need you to live out your faith practically so we know that it can be done. When body is failing, when life is behind, and when glory is ahead, do you really believe in glory? Show us. And then, old men, we need you to give your testimony personally. I had one mentor, a pastor, once tell me this. He said, Steve, we inspire people by our stories of victory, but we move them by our stories of defeat. And we need our old men telling about God's victory in days gone by and also our defeats in days gone by. We need you. So I went off on you, old men, just for a moment, but please consider it better the wound of a friend than the kiss of an enemy. Do you have faith? Secondly, older men, we must have a lot of love. A lot of love, to be sound in love. Because real men love. As my father, as grandchildren kept getting added to his life, he would tell them, you know, I'm not dividing my heart among you. As each one of you are born, my heart gets bigger. Real men love. The word Paul uses is agape. That's right, that word, agape love. Agape love for God, agape love for others like our Lord Jesus showed. Do you have it? Man, let me tell you why old time love is so important. Old love is unconditional. It accepts the person where they're at. Old man love is secure. He's not chasing others, he's committed to you. Old love is honest, it's sincere. It's not pretentious. It's not trying to get something out of you. Old man love is tough. It's had the door slammed and been told to be quiet again and again and again, and it don't quit. Old man love is patient. It's gone this far already. What's another year matter? Old man love is always there until the Lord takes old man love home. Man, we need to be sound in love. And then finally, we've got to have endurance. Sound in endurance. Hey, relationships are hard work, guys. So much easier to flip on the TV and watch football on the weekend or to go out to the garden or out to the garage and work. That's gravy. That's the playground. These relationships. Oh, I'm tired just thinking about them. You see, you must be steadfast for the sake of these relationships. No pouting. We're grown men. No quitting. Do not waver, do not withdraw, stay involved. Here's three fun reasons why older men should stay involved and endure. One, there's more of us around than ever before. Do you know, old men, our life expectancies are higher than dad and grandpa and great grandpa. Hey, let's take advantage of it. We're around longer, stay involved. There's a lot of others with you. Two, hey, we've got a lot of spending power. Do you know that 75% of all American wealth are in the hands of senior citizens? Yeah. Why don't we use it? Let's spend it. Let's give it away to the young. Come on, treats on gramps. Use it. And then thirdly, we have discretionary time. Let's be generous. We've got what so many of the young wish they had, money, time. So that's it, dear church. That's maturity. Sound in faith, sound in love, sound in endurance. May God grant his church men of dignity and men of maturity. In closing, I find it interesting, dear church, in his earthly ministry to us, on his journey to the cross in order to save us and bring salvation to his church and offer it to all of mankind, that our Lord Jesus Christ never reached these years. Isn't that fascinating? Our Lord Jesus Christ never reached these years. And yet our Lord Jesus, even as a young man, was considered a father of the faith. For our salvation. Look at this prophecy. It's so fascinating. It's puzzled theologians. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, prophesied the coming of Jesus. And of Jesus it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Son of God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Well, this does not change the sonship of our Lord Jesus, but we see many of his duties are very fatherly. You think of his young age. At the Passover, when Jesus went missing, his parents look for him, finally find him in the temple courts. And what does Luke tell us? He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions, which old men learn to do, by the way. I have an older brother who tells me all the time, "Steve, ask questions. You never get in trouble asking questions. Make statements and you electrify, but ask good questions." And he's asking them questions, listening to them, and everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and then his answers. You see, what we see, older men, is that our Lord Jesus displayed the faith, the love, and the endurance that Paul commands to the old men in the winning of our salvation. And so, old men, as we live with dignity and as we live with maturity, we display our Lord Jesus Christ as the hope of the world. And let us all say, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies to us. They are new every morning. And on behalf of older Christians everywhere, I thank you for the gift of today. You have blessed us who are older with long lives where you have shown yourself faithful. And we thank you for the gift, the fresh gift of today. And we pray that your Spirit would descend upon us in power and glory, that Jesus would minister to us and grant to us a dignity and a maturity that shines Jesus through and to your church. Thank you, O Lord, for your instructions. Empower us with the ministry of our Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and let us all say, amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.